Won't it be great on that day when the promise maker, who's made those promises and sealed them with his blood, has kept each and every one of them. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from before the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be to them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Father, we come before you, and we long for the day that our brokenness is undone, and that the final nail into the death of sin has been accomplished. Father, you made the heavens and the earth and everything in them. Father, you made the bird of the air and the flower of the field, and you take care of them. You feed the birds and you clothe the lilies. And Lord, you are a God, merciful and gracious and slow to anger and full of steadfast love and faithful. And you forgive us of our sins. And you promise us, those who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, you promise us a life with you forever apart from sin. And oh, we long for that day. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray until that day that you would give us a taste of that sweet joy through the Spirit of God. Lord, in this place, in this church, would you reign supreme and let us lift up our voices in praise to you. Let us lift up our hearts in celebration of the grace and in the goodness of Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, let us be a worshiping people, a people who give you thanks in the brokenness of this world and thanks in the good things that you give us, because they are all from your hand. And Lord, would you please let us be faithful to you until the day we see you face to face. Father, I pray for your people, and I pray for your people not only here in this church, but all around the world. I pray for people like Miss Jocelyn's mother and family in India who praise your name. And Lord, those who are in South America and in Australia. And Lord, I pray for my mother-in-law, Nelda Highsmith, who is ministering in Japan now. All across the world, Lord, there are Christians who are lifting up your name. Thank you for letting us be a part of that great throne. Lord, continue to let your glory spread across the face of this earth. Lord, and give us wisdom on how we might help in that endeavor. Father, we thank you that you are at work in our community, and continue to bless our community, we pray. Let us be servants in the midst of wherever you place us, in our homes, in our families, the grocery stores that we go to. Lord, let us speak the kindness and truth of Jesus to those that we meet. And Lord, I pray that today, those who have entered this place with their hearts burdened and broken might find the food for their soul from the words of Jesus, from your word this morning. Heal broken hearts. Let us rest in you this morning, I pray. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you would, take your copy of Scripture and turn to Matthew chapter 6. And Lord willing, we will finish up Matthew chapter 6 this morning. And as you're making your way there, I want to read the passage that we're studying. And this is actually part two of what we began last week, letting us rest our anxious heart in the faithful arms of God. So if you would you stand? And I want to read the passage that we will be studying today, Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and I begin with, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I pray that you would take the words of your son, Jesus, that he preached so long ago on that mount in Galilee, and would you bring them to us here in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, this morning. And Lord, that you would take our hearts and let us be pierced once again by the truth that Jesus speaks. And Lord, let us leave here different people than what we came in. Father, I pray that you would take me and forgive me of my sin and let me fade into the background and allow your Holy Spirit to proclaim the words of Christ anew and afresh. I ask this in his precious name, Jesus' name. Amen. There's a river in West Virginia, and the name of it is the Gauley River, G-A-U-L-E-Y. And it begins at a place called the Summersville Dam, and it's 105 miles long, and as it flows through the beautiful mountains of West Virginia, some of the most beautiful country that you've ever laid your eyes upon, it flows through there, and it's peaceful and gracious and wonderful. December, all the way around through the year, back to August. But in September and October, something happens. They let the water out of the Summersville Dam, and that beautiful Gauley River becomes a world-class white water rafting area. And if you've been on the Gauley, you will not forget it. It is intense, like, am I going to survive intense type of whitewater rafting? It is incredible. And that river that was so beautiful and peaceful and wonderful that flowed through the mountains of West Virginia, every nook and cranny of that river is filled with the presence and the power of water, and it changes that the dynamic of that river completely. Now, why do I start with this illustration of the Gauley River? I pray this morning that you are a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, meaning this, that you have bowed your knee, and when you think about Jesus, you think, he is my Savior from sin. And he is the one that has brought me out of death and into life, and I have eternal life because he died and rose again. And one day I will be with him forever in heaven. I pray that is your heart. I pray that you believe in Jesus Christ. But let me ask you, you may have believed in Christ, and I'm so thankful for that, but do you believe him when he speaks? You trust him for the salvation of your soul. Do you trust him for today? Do you trust his words when he tells you that God will do something? I want the promise and the power and the presence of God to fill your every nook and cranny of your life. I want it to go deep and to push out the anxiety and the worry that so plagues our hearts. That's why I began with that illustration. May the promises of God fill the nook and crannies of our heart like the Gali River in September and October. This overfloweth with the power of God's presence. How are we going to do that? 2 points, very easy to remember. Point number one, O ye of little faith. Point number two, seek ye first. Let's get at it. Point number one, O ye of little faith. Now, my aim is, by the end of this, Lord willing, through the words of Jesus, is for you to take your heart that's prone to worry and to place it into God's hands, his faithful arms. And the way I want to do this is to show you what Jesus is saying here. And the first thing that he says, as we pick up where we left off last week, is, O ye of little faith. Perhaps the first step for you to lose your anxious, worrying heart is to allow Jesus to take his omniscient, omnipotent finger and place it right on the problem. O ye of little faith. How does he get to that point? How does he say that word? And that is a review of what we talked about last week. And if you remember, what did we talk about last week? Jesus painted two pictures from creation, a picture of the birds who neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, but what does God do? He feeds them. And then he turned your eyes to the ground and looked at the bloom of the lily, and they are so beautiful, but they neither toil nor spin, but who clothes them? God does. And what's the question that Jesus asked? Look at the birds. God feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Number two, look at the flowers of the field and look how beautiful they are. Are you not much more valuable than they? And Jesus is saying, look around you. Open your eyes to have eyes of faith. Look at the bird, look at the flower, and know that God will take care of you. Now, if you carry the burden of worry and anxiety after Jesus has spoken truth into your life, what is the word that he uses to describe you? O you of little faith. Before we talk about that phrase, one word in the original, would you do me a favor? Would you allow Jesus to call you out if this describes you? The first thing that must happen is for us to admit where we are weak. And Jesus says, O you of little faith. Jesus uses that word three other times in the book of Matthew. The first time the disciples are in a boat and the storm is raging outside and Jesus is in the front of the boat, and what is Jesus doing? He's sleeping. Fast asleep. Are the disciples asleep? No. They are scared to death and they wake him up. And Jesus says, why do you fear, O ye of little faith? Jesus is right there with them in their presence, and he actually has the power to save them, and he speaks the word, O you of little faith. The second time Jesus uses this word, once again, there is a boat with disciples in it, and there is a storm, but Jesus is not in the boat, but they do see Jesus. He comes walking on the water, and Peter says, can I come and join you? And Jesus says, come. And Peter walks out and meets Jesus, and then his eyes see the wind and the waves, and he says, Lord, save me. And Jesus reaches out his hand and says, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Jesus is there. He's in Peter's presence. He has the power over the wind and the waves. They've already seen that. And he says, oh, Peter, of little faith, why did you doubt? The third time Jesus uses this word is Jesus had already fed 5,000 with a few loaves and a couple of fish. And the disciples begin to worry because they have no bread. And Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, didn't you see me feed this multitude? He is calling out their lack of faith in Jesus when he's right there with them. And Jesus here in Matthew chapter 6, going back to where he was, has just told you to look at the birds of the air and look at the flowers of the field. Are you not much more worthy than they? And the answer is absolutely yes. Will God take care of you? Absolutely yes. And when you still worry, he says, oh, you of little faith. Don't you believe the words that are coming out of my mouth? Let him put his finger on the root of the problem of worry and anxiety, and it's all you of little faith. Have you bowed the knee to Jesus? Have you gave him your life to forgive you of your sins and bring you into his presence forever? If the answer to that question is yes, will you trust his words for today? Would you take the promises that he speaks and actually believe them for today? Oh, ye of little faith. He puts the finger right on the root of our problem of worry. Now, Jesus is not going to leave us there because that's not the type of Savior he is. He is going to walk us step by step on out of the little faithness and how to rest our anxious hearts into the faithful arms of God. And your question is, how is he going to do that? I'm glad you asked that question. That means we go to the next verse, verse 31. Therefore, you see how it's connected together? You have little faith. Let me tell you something. How do you step out of that and grow into that? The first thing that he does is Christ forbids you to do something. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying. Did you see what Jesus just did? He connected your worry to your words. Do not be anxious, saying. Did you know that your words reveal your heart? Don't be anxious, saying. In fact, I think Jesus is saying more than that. I think not only do they reveal your heart, but Jesus is saying the words that you speak reinforce what's going on in your heart. And so he forbids it. Do not be anxious, saying what? What are the words that Jesus forbids? Let's read here in verse 31. Don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? These are the forbidden phrases, according to Jesus, if you want not to worry. And this is the question that arises. Why does Jesus forbid these words? Good question. Why does he forbid them? The truth is, they're not true. Christian, will God take care of your food need? Yes, he will. He promises to. Christian, will God give you clean water to drink? Yes, he will. He promises to. Christian, will God clothe you? Yes, he will. You are not allowed to ask these questions because they are not rooted in truth. You are not allowed to speak untruth to yourself over and over and over again. First step of ridding anxiety from your heart is stop speaking untruth to yourself. He will take care of you. He forbids it. We know that's true, don't we? Have you ever got yourself in that conversation of what ifs in your head? Well, what if this happens? Well, what if that happens? And what if this happens? And before you know it, the clock has went from midnight to 3 o'clock and you still haven't answered the what ifs because you can't. Don't do that, he says. Your words reveal your heart. You need to trust in the Lord. Oh, you of little faith. But not only does he push these words out of our vocabulary, he says banish them from there, but he doesn't leave us there. How do we know that these words are not the words of a Christian, of a follower of God? Look to whom he puts the words in their mouth. Look at verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Verse 32, for the Gentiles seek after these things. Now, how is he using that word Gentiles there? He's using it as a generic word for unbelievers, specifically pagans and those who do not know the Lord God of the Bible. Unbelievers think this way. Unbelievers live their life for food, drink, clothing, etc. And he's saying, don't be like them. That's what they seek after. So he is banishing these thoughts and these words from our vocabulary. And this is the sweet part. Does he leave us with just banishing, just saying no to something? That's exactly right. He does something else. He says, I want you to think about something. Think about this, that your Heavenly Father knows all that you need. Your Heavenly Father, Christian, knows every need that you have. What you do is you banish lies from your vocabulary and from your thought. And Jesus, it says, fill your life with God's truth. When you are worrying, stop filling your heart and your mind with these falsehoods and begin filling it with the truth that you get from God's word. Number one, when you are laying your head on your pillow at night and sleep escapes you, would you do this? Would you say, God, you know where I'm at right now. And you know what's running through my mind right now. And Lord, you know me. I'm a broken person. And you know me through and through. And you have promised forgiveness to me. And you have promised to take care of my every need. Would you let me lay down in the pillow of your sovereignty tonight and sleep the sleep of someone who is faithful? Oh, fill your heart full of truth about God. You see, worry isn't cut off. Worry is driven out when you saturate your life and you trust in the truth of who God is, and he knows your every single need, and will he not take care of you? That's the promise that he gives to us. So he forbids us to say words that are not true, and he bids us to fill our hearts full of the truth about who God is. So there we have it. He points out, O ye of little faith. And then he turns us to meditate upon this truth about God Almighty. That's point number one, O ye of little faith. And then we transition to point number two, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Note what Jesus does here. He's leading us step by step out of little faith and out of worry and into the very arms of God. And how does he do it? He does two things. He's like a master blacksmith making a chain on an anvil. And you can just see him striking the anvil and striking the anvil. And he has two links that he is putting together in this verse, in verse 33. And the first link is a path, and the second link is a promise. And he puts these two together, and they shall not be broken. Worry will never break this chain. And you say, well, what is this chain that you're talking about here in verse 33? Number one, the path that Jesus puts us on is this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do you see the path? That's the path that he says and he places you upon. Now, I want you to ask with me what I ask. What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? How do we understand that in everyday language? I want you to sort of ask yourself this question. Do you live as if God Almighty is the King of the universe? I want you to ask this question. Do you live and desire to put yourself under his authority, his rule, his reign? Are you seeking to be a citizen of God Almighty in his created world? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Does your life conform to the character of this king? What do you mean, the character of this king? Well, what did the king do? He came, left glory, entered into this world, and gave his life so that you and I might live. Are you conforming to the kingdom character like that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, here's the thing. When you begin living like that, placing God first in your thoughts, it begins to do something to you. It means that you are not first in life anymore. It means you're not second in life anymore. You love God and you love others before yourself. And you say, how does that help with anxiety? How does that help with anxiety? Did you know anxiety sometimes is an I-itis problem? Have you heard of I-itis? Well, I think if this happens, then what's really going to happen? And what's going to happen to me if this happens? And I don't know what's going to happen. And I think maybe this is going to turn out bad. And if you hear your language, it's I. And you begin to have I-itis, and the worries set in. But when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, guess what happens to I? It's not in first place anymore. It's not in second place anymore. It's way down here on the list. And you begin to live a life not for yourself, but for God's glory and the good of others. And guess what happens to I-itis when you do that? It dies. Why? Because it's not about you anymore. It's about others. And Jesus is putting us on the path to the promise to take away all of our cares. What will it look like when you seek the kingdom of God first in your life? I'll tell you this, when you live life for God's glory and the good of others, it will change the things that you say. In your house, you will say words that want to bring glory to God and good to others. And then in your place of work, you will speak to your spouse differently. You will speak to your children differently. You will speak to your coworkers differently. You will speak to the person at the grocery store differently because you are not living for you anymore. You are living for Jesus. What will it look like? It will change the choices that you make when you live for the kingdom of God first. It will change where you live. It will change what you do. It will change everything about you because you are making choices for God's glory and the good of others and not for you anymore. What else will happen? If you follow this path, what might it look like? Well, for some of you, you will stay right where you are at and you will sink your roots so deep into the soil of God's truth that your fruit will abound in your home and in your church and in your community. God will use you for his kingdom. For many of you, that will be the case, and your home will flourish as you pursue God's kingdom. But right now, there are some of you in this room that if you seek the kingdom of God first, he will take you from the place that you are at, and he will put you where you can be used best for his glory. And you will say amen to that. Why? Because it's not about you anymore. It's about him and his glory, seeking first the kingdom of God. The question is not where you will be, but what direction are you going? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? This is the path that Jesus calls us to. It's the path of the kingdom. It's the path of righteousness. But remember, it's a link. And it's only the first link in the chain. And that link is forged by Jesus, the master blacksmith, to a second link. And that link is a promise. Listen to the promise. Verse 33 again. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So let's read it again and think about path and promise. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the path, and all these things, what things? The food, the clothing, the water, the home, the needs that we have, all these things will be added unto you. There's the promise. Do you believe Jesus when he speaks the promise? Do you believe it? Right now is the moment. Right now, he's asking you. It's like he's whispering. Child, child, don't worry anymore. Seek me, and I will take care of your every need. That's the promise. Jesus, the Savior, is speaking. Do you believe? Right now, in this moment, will you trust Jesus, not only for your soul, but for your daily needs? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the path, the promise, all these things will be added unto you. Maybe, just maybe, when we walk out that door, we will walk like we never have before, hand in hand with Jesus, taking care of our every single need. Christian, will you believe the words that our Savior speaks? Will you follow the path that he has set out? And if you do, that path has a promise to it, attached to it, that can never, ever be broken because Jesus spoke it. And when you follow that path, he will lead you and take care of your every need. Will you trust the words of the Savior today? Now, when we take that path, and we take that promise, and we put them together, these are the final words that Jesus speaks on this subject. Verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Friends, I pray that you have goals and dreams and heart desires shaped by your love for God, for the future. Jesus is not forbidding you planning for the future in this verse. That's not what he's forbidding. He wants you to think about how you can use your life for God's glory and others' good, right where you're at or where he might take you in the future. That's not what Jesus is forbidding here. What Jesus is forbidding is this. He's forbidding you to make plans and then worry about tomorrow. He's forbidding you to take the burdens of tomorrow and place them on your shoulders today. Here's the truth. You and me and not a single one of us know what's going to happen tomorrow or tomorrow's tomorrow or next week or next month or next year or in the next decade. We do not know what's going to happen. But God has tomorrow in his hands. He knows the beginning from the end, and the end from the beginning. And he's called us to do one thing, to be faithful to him today. And he says, don't take the burden of tomorrow. That's my burden. Be faithful to me today, and I will take you step by step through the troubles and through the joys of tomorrow. But don't worry about them, because I will take care of you. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's going to have enough worries for itself. Be faithful to me today, and I will lead you to tomorrow, and to tomorrow's tomorrow, and to the tomorrow after that, until you see me face to face. I am faithful. So friend, Christian, would you ask Jesus right now to strengthen your little faith? Just tell him, Lord, I struggle. I struggle with trusting your promises. And say, would you please strengthen my little faith? Would you help me to banish words of untruth from my vocabulary and fill my soul with truth from God's word so that I can lay down at night and think about your promises for me. God, would you ask him to say, would you allow me to seek first your kingdom and its righteousness. Would you set me on the path that leads to the promise for you to take care of me? And would you help me to worry not about tomorrow, but trust in you today? I want to end with a verse from the scriptures. It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." He's called us to trust him today. Father, I thank you so much that you are faithful even when we are faithless, and that you call us out of anxiety and out of ourselves and call us to live for a purpose that's much greater than ourselves, for you and your kingdom and your righteousness. And when we live for you, you promise to take care of our every single need. Father, I pray that you would calm anxious hearts and let us rest once again in your faithful arms, because you are the one who holds our tomorrow. Father, I pray that you would be with each and every person here, and Lord, put it into our hearts to seek you first above anything and everything else in our lives. And I ask, Lord, that we would not only trust in you, but we would trust your very words. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.